When I think of cobras, I think of Bob Gaylon. When I think of striking fast, that's Bob Gaylon.
Striking the weak, striking the incapacitated, striking those that can't defend themselves. Bob Gaylon.
Welcome to the Medicast. We are following the protocol because sometimes Bob likes to jump in and try and start the episodes. But not today, Bob. Not today. Nope. No. Leadership. Metrics. It's one of those things that there's often discussed. And I feel very little actual, like, concrete evidence or anything has come out about how in the world you measure leadership. And it's one of those things that I feel like I go off on an angry tangent about. I don't know how you feel about that.
I do as well. As you were talking, Josh, you just reminded me, and you're going to laugh at this. I remember I did a blog post.
No.
Go ahead. No, but it was about like how to measuring leaders. I had totally blanked it out before this the podcast. It's like 10 or 20 crazy metrics for measuring leaders. So I'm going to get that link to you to share with the cast. I have to go back and look at it. But it was flipping it around to say, which is what this cast is about. What do success metrics look like? What does success look like? Not just a metric. For leadership,
I'm going to say this, and I don't like the words that are coming out of my mouth, but it's how I feel. If you have to find a way to measure your success, you're
like
not succeeding.
You know, I like where that man, you took that in a nice way, in a nice place. Oh my God! Tip of the hat to Josh. I'm with you. Give me more on that.
Number one, you're clearly focusing on the wrong thing. Like if that's what you're trying to do in your leadership role is prove the value of yourself or the leadership that you're doing. Number one, you're focusing on the wrong thing. So you're clearly not leading because you're focusing on that. So step one, if you're listening to that or to this right now, I hope you have this oh shit moment. Where you're like, oh boy, I am really screwing up. Like if I got excited about the title of this episode and I'm like, I'm going to walk away with the things I can go into my boss's office
exactly
tomorrow and say, listen, buckaroo, here's how you know I'm a great leader. And here's the five metrics. If that's at the front of your mind right now, jump on the brakes with both feet. Make sure you have your seatbelt on. And like, stop. Like, this cannot be a thing that you're focused on. If it is, you're in trouble. But that's okay. That's what Bob and I are here for. We're gonna reel you out of that. We're gonna get you in a good spot. So now that I've thrown, the bomb in the middle of the floor,
are we done? Are we gonna do like the
episode
the
over?
The fist bump?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bob. So I've dropped that bomb. You seem to align with it pretty closely.
No, I align with it. I do think there are indicators. I do think, and I wanted this episode to also explore what are some metrics, let's reframe it, maybe some indicators that a good leader can be looking for, like indicators of, am I going in the right direction? Mm-hmm. So I do think there are things like that. But I love the spirit of what you said, because if you're focusing down here on my little metrics and my little trending bars, you're missing the big picture of leadership. A lot of it's intangible. So I love what what you're talking about. It's like you can be looking at ROI, but are you burning out your teams? And mm-hmm. is the ROI only going to be positive for the next month? And then you've done it, a terrible job or something. One of my metrics for leaders that reported to me, Josh, it's not a metric, but it's an indicator, or it's something I message to them, because they would ask, they would ask me, like, what does good look like? or whatever. Or I want to get a bonus. So what the hell, Bob, does that look like? And that, very often, I think I was channeling like the one metric that matters to me was, how are you growing your team? Mm-hmm. How are you making yourself not necessarily to lead? How are you weaning yourself from your team? which was, and so there would be like blank looks staring at me sometimes when I would talk. The growing the team they got, but the putting themselves out of a job part, people really struggled with, you know. And that wasn't my point, but it was like, you know, I want you to, your number one metric is to grow a kick-ass team. Mm-hmm. And to grow, and part of that was growing kick-ass leaders too, like succession planning, right? So you're by definition, and it's not just situational agile leadership. I wanted them to be grooming a replacement. I wanted them to be really conscious of, am I grooming the next set of leaders for my team or organization or for others in the organization? I really laser focused on that a lot. I thought that encompassed a lot of stuff. Any reaction to that or another one?
I am right there with you. The outcome that I'm looking for, because a lot of people will get focused on the outputs of like, what are the little things I need to be doing? You know, you're winning when you and your leaders within your organization can take a nice long vacation and there's no panic on either side from the leader of like, oh my gosh, if I'm not here for like, we have this big meeting with this, you know, third party that we're working with, I gotta be there. No, you don't.
Right.
Well, maybe you do now, but you need to create an environment where you don't have to be there. So I actually look at vacation time. And are people, are leaders freely using their vacation time? Or is it a situation where they get to the end of the year and they're like, oh my gosh, I haven't taken a vacation all year, blah, 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 I got to do this. That's an indicator of that organization not being healthy enough for that leader, that person that is the magic connector of all the things.
Yep.
If that person isn't there, then things can't succeed. So that's a unusual measuring stick that I look for, that I expect people. I don't think it's unusual, but I think people might view that as like, wait a minute, you're telling me good leaders need to be on vacation more? Like, well, they need to be comfortable taking a vacation, and the team needs to be comfortable with them taking a vacation.
I mean, in my storytelling or my messaging to the leaders, Josh, I was like, I want you, don't take any devices with you. So here's the metric.
Yeah. Right?
You can separate from your group. You can take a sabbatical. You can take a vacation. You can leave all electronic devices behind. And the measure I have for you is your team does better without you than they did with you. So, and I'm like, that's a win for you. And people would look at me like, is it a trick? Is he trying to fire me or something? And I'm like, no. No, I mean, your team, if you're doing the leadership job, I mean, they can knock it out of the park with you, but they should be knocking it out of the park, you know, without you. And that's what I'm looking for. And yeah, I don't know how you get that. But
if you're scratching your head, right? Like if you're listening to Bob and I and you're scratching your head, like, okay, cool, Bob, Josh sounds great. How the frick do I do that? We have probably, you know, 3 dozen episodes about how you can build an organization or create leaders within your organization that enable this to happen. So go do a little research on some of the things that we've talked about. You have the roadmap to make this a reality. So there is no excuse 1 year from now, if you're listening to this and saying, dang it, I am not in that position yet, but I want to get there. I want to put the hard work in to make it happen. Go listen to some of the episodes that we've done in the past. We've given you the keys to the kingdom there. So just go get it.
Yep.
Or wait a minute, Bob, wait a minute. You know how they can go get the answers right now?
I wish there was some kind of Oracle or something that they could ask Josh, but
yeah, Walter is the answer. They can go to store Walter. That's right. Walter has every word we've ever said and he has it like that. When you have a question, he has your answer. So go ask Walter. store.metacast.com. Sign up for Walter. He knows every word we've ever spoken. And you can ask him, how do I build a team of leaders? And Walter will tell you, this is how you do it. And then Walter will suggest episodes that you should go listen to. So you have zero excuses now. I expect every person that is listening to this episode right now, 1 year from now, to have the most amazing teams, the most amazing leaders in their organization because they've followed these easy, simple steps that Bob and I have created for you.
Could I come with another indicator or metric?
Bring it.
But it's these soft metrics, I guess. I would say measure your, I put down coachability, or your reflection capability, or your curiosity for yourself. So another metric, and this is another odd one, I think, but measure, you know, how do you take feedback? Are you a feedback sponge? Are
you a reflection
junk? Do you seek it out? And then do you digest it, for goodness sakes, rather than deflect it? Are you accountable for that? Are you insatiably curious about stuff and gathering some of that feedback? I would be looking for a leader to be developing in that space. Maybe that's an inside out metric for the leader. Is that too silly for this episode?
No, Josh? I don't think so. I think it's right on. And it becomes challenging the air quote higher up you go within an organization, the amount of feedback that you get just like drops off a cliff.
Absolutely.
So you can become very stagnant very quickly because you're not getting the amount of feedback that you're used to historically. But now as a leader, there might be no one that is air quote above you to give you the feedback that you need. And oh, by the way, once you get to certain roles, VP, CXO, like you don't get feedback. You don't. That's just kind of the way it is. So you have to find ways to get that feedback, to get yourself better. Do you have that? I think the words Bob used was insatiable curiosity of like, how do I get better? Like, are you constantly trying to get better? And oh, by the way, if you're doing that, you're modeling that for your entire team and your entire organization, guess what? They're going to be doing the same thing. So that's a fantastic thing to be.
Oh, thank you for bringing that up, Josh. So it's the self metric, but you're right. You're modeling that for your team or for your organization, et cetera. I'm going to throw out there real quickly, Metacasters. One of the things, as you go higher up, I agree with Josh entirely, and you don't get feedback. There is that. It's a weird phenomenon as you go up in a leadership chain. I think part of it, though, is self-inflicted. From the point of view of, is your ego, are you good at receiving feedback? And I don't mean just listening and then saying, I'll get back to you or adding it to a backlog. I mean, like enthusiastically seeking it out, receiving it, even when it's bad or constructive or you don't agree with it, you take it anyway, and then you do something with it. A lot of leaders don't do that, I think. So what they're doing is putting up a deflector. So yes, there's limited feedback. And if you're not humble and curious, you're going to deflect away the little bit of feedback you do get. And it'll just stop. If you're doing that, if you're deflecting, at some fundamental point, it's just going to stop.
And the thing that you have to, like, here's the secret sauce. When somebody gives you feedback and it's good, like negative feedback, like, hey, Bob, this really drives me crazy when you do this. You need to highlight the crap out of it. You need to model that. Hey, everyone, Josh, like, I am Bob now. I am Bob. Josh just brought this to my attention that this thing I do really creates chaos within the organization. And he sat down, he explained it to me, and daggone it, he is right. That Josh guy is always right. It's amazing. You know, but everybody already knew that Josh was always right. It's just kind of the thing.
Of course they did.
This is the kind of thing that I need to become a better leader. So I need you. I need anyone here in this room or in this Zoom or in this whatever call that we're on. Yep. I need you to be willing to bring these thoughts and concerns to me because this is how I get better. And it's my job to get better and I need your help. So you have to encourage and create that space where people are comfortable bringing things to you as a leader. Now, there's undoubtedly going to be some coaching that you have to do with some of the members of your organization about how to bring things in a constructive way, as opposed to just complaining or just whining. So if actually when that happens, coach that person and help them, but make sure you highlight and thank, like go overboard and almost embarrass them with how much you appreciate them and their willingness to bring that to you. Absolutely. And put it on the table. Otherwise, again, like Bob made a great point. So much of that is our fault because we don't create the environment where that's a thing that can or should happen. So you have to make it happen.
I was laughing, Josh, because it's not uncommon for me. like when I was a leader and, you know, you were in having all hands meetings and you were up on a step or something and someone challenged me and I could see the audience and you'd see the eyes going, oh, it's, you know, oh, he's going to, you know, kick the shit out of someone or something, right? You're in trouble. And I would not, I mean, I would often, it's the exaggeration point and you need to be genuine with it. You can't just fake it. And I was genuine. I was like, holy crap. You just disagreed with me in public. You gave me some ideas. Thank you. And I'd run out and high five someone in the audience. Yeah. Right? Yes, that's what I'm looking for. And I would always clarify a little bit, just a little bit. I'd be like, that doesn't mean that I'm going to take every, you know, I can't, but it's feedback, you know, ladies and gentlemen. It's and any feedback is incredibly valuable. So I'll think about it. I'll consider it. I'll dovetail it against other considerations and I'm going to take action on it if I think it's relevant. But that's the embrace.
Yeah. And that creates a waterfall effect for all of the leaders within your organization as they now start to operate like that. So now everybody's comfortable having those discussions that have to happen. The full depth of your organization starts to operate like that. And when that happens, that's when you know things are going well. So that's another metric that you can think of is, number Absolutely. Of times where someone challenges the leader of leaders
in
public and it's not, you know, that person is instantly fired, you know, or whatever ridiculous things other people might do, but instead it's embraced. So how often is that happening within your organization? If it's zero, you have some work to do, my friends.
Absolutely. I have another final thought. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Because you nailed it in the beginning, I think. I would say how often you're pulled into things. So I remember a leader, as I was thinking about this for a few minutes, I remember a leader at a company. I don't know if I was coaching them. I was doing something with them, but maybe I was just, they were bouncing ideas off me later. So it was a very light touch coaching gig. And they were like, oh, you know what? I haven't talked to my boss in 2 months and I haven't gotten any feedback. It, you know, and I haven't been in these meetings, you know, I haven't been invited to, you know, meetings, but man, I'm kicking ass over here, right? With the results and things like that. How do you think I'm doing? And my reaction was, and I tried not to rip their soul out, but I was like, you know, in my experience, if you have a curve where you're not getting pulled into things, your value proposition as a leader is diminishing. And it's not just tactical problem solving. It's strategic initiatives, it's product investments, it's cross-organization. HR invites you in to talk about ratios of developers to testers or something. It's like, you know, and you're like, oh, that's a pain. No, they're pulling you in. So I think how you're being pulled into the strategic fabric of your company as an advisor, as a partner, as a leader, is like an upper bound measure. I'm not talking about the dollars so much as, are you this trusted advisor? Mm-hmm. And are people really vying for that? And there's a curve there. So I would measure the number of pulls, if you will. Yeah, Josh, and reactions?
And you get pulled in because you've proven to be that type of member within the organization that can be given a difficult problem that they might not have all of the, you know, exact experience needed to solve that problem, but you've proven that you can solve the problems that are at hand, even when they're messy, even when they're scary, even when they're not in your wheelhouse. And again, if you're doing that, your teams are doing that. And when your exactly. teams are able to operate in that manner, then yeah, it's amazing.
Exactly. And you've proven that. And that's, you know, sort of, you can measure sort of the ongoing metrics. But I think there's this outcome of, is the organization looking at you as a strategist, as a change agent, as a trusted advisor, as a partner? And I mean your leader, mostly, you know, organizational leadership. And it's a continuum. You're not going to be involved in everything. Mm-hmm. But does it feel appropriate? And then if it's not happening, let's say it starts declining, something, don't ignore that. Don't that you've done something to push. So you're doing something to invite them in and keep doing that, or you're doing something to push them out and stop doing that.
Bob, I mean, we gave listeners, viewers, like four distinct things. Even when we started the episode saying like, hey, if you're worrying about measuring, you're worrying about the wrong stuff, but there still are good nuggets that you should be, you know, tracking and training. So we've given folks four.
I think so. I think, and the key was the title was success metrics, not leadership metrics, not how many dials can I have, say, let's measure 8,000 data points for leadership. The PMI says, or Scaled Agile says, do this. That's not the point. It's those intangible success metrics. I was coming in a little wishy-washy, Josh. I feel good about it. So Metacasters from beautiful downtown Cary, North Carolina, and its sun just came out.
Ooh, and beautiful downtown Fuquay Arena, North Carolina. The sun will be, it'll be here eventually.
It'll be peeking out. It always, yeah. It always hits Cary first.
I know.
Because we're special.
Because you pay more.
Exactly. That's we pay for that prestige. Yes, we do. I'm Bob Galen.
And I'm Josh Anderson.
Shake.
And bake.
Take care, y'all.